and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Go ahead and get this. There we go. Just leave that up for a little bit. So he's talking about soil, and he's explaining this parable. And what we find out is this parable is a picture of the spread of the gospel. The seed is the word. The sower is the one sharing the word. The soil represents the different people that are hearing it, the different hearts that are hearing this word. And we see different people respond to the gospel in different ways. It's not a failure of the seed. It's not a failure of the soil. It ultimately comes down to the heart. But as we see this and think about what Jesus is doing here, I want you to stop for just a minute and think about the power and the potential of the word and what Jesus is describing. So you're reading through Luke and you see Christ came proclaiming the word. I mean, he's teaching everywhere he goes. And this word that he proclaims is powerful. It's beautiful. It's this beautiful and powerful gift that's intended to cause growth and produce fruit in its hearers. And so if we have good hearts, the word will change us. I mean, dramatically change our lives and transform us to be like Christ. But what we see again in this soil, in this picture, the soil doesn't always support that kind of growth. The hearts don't always respond the way they should. I want you to just step back and consider the stats. Okay, so of the four heart types he describes here, all four heard. So we're not talking about people who've never heard the gospel. All four heard. Three out of four received it. I mean, their initial response was really good. Think about that. Three out of four said, I like this. This sounds good. I want more of this. Okay. Two out of those three ended up not persevering and bearing fruit. Only one grew well and yielded fruit. So we need to ask, are you the good soil? As we put ourselves into this parable, we put ourselves into what Jesus is saying in the middle of his ministry here, are you that good soil? We want to think everyone who's here today is that good soil. But the sad reality, what this parable teaches us, is that probably isn't the case. Let that sink in for just a second. What Jesus is showing us in this parable is that probably isn't the case. This parable provides a very powerful and necessary warning. We need to evaluate our hearts. We need to take a good look at our lives, honestly and critically. Because what I want to believe is that everyone here wants to be the good soil. And that's what we're working on together today. And so what I want to do this morning is take a closer look at the thorny soil specifically to help us with some of these things. So look at verse 7 again of Luke 8. He says, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. I want you to think about this soil and see the picture for just a minute, okay? So again, the seed's planted in the soil, but it germinates. But over time, these other plants, these thorns that are grow quicker and that grow more aggressively, grow up with it and starve this plant of nutrients and moisture. And as a result, the plant itself is sickly, and any fruit that's on there is just not mature. It didn't bring forth to maturity. It's weak. It's unfruitful. I want to show you guys this. Anybody know what that is? John, Judy, you guys recognize that? This is our pumpkin patch out at John and Judy's this past summer. They let us borrow a little bit of their land, and Chelsea and I planted a pumpkin patch. And, we tilled the soil really good. We put well space in our rows. We even put down straw and newspaper and all these sort of things as weed barriers. But then I went away to Bible camp for a week, and we got distracted with other things. And before long, I mean, we came back a couple weeks later, and there's all these grass and weeds growing, and you could barely make out the plants. Well, we thought, okay, we'll get back to this is too much to do today. We'll come back next Monday, and we'll work on it again. And next Monday turned into the next Monday, which turned into the next Monday. And finally, at the end of the summer, we were like, okay, we got to deal with this pumpkin patch. So we go out there, And this is what we found. I mean, just weeds and grass and not thorns like we're seeing in this parable, but weeds and grass everywhere. Can you see our pumpkins? There were a few that bore pumpkins, but the ones that were there were rotten and stunted. I mean, we planted at least a couple hundred seeds. This was going to be spectacular. We had probably 8 different varieties, some really unique kinds, some kinds that you could eat, some kinds that were going to be really decorative. And we had great plans of sharing pumpkins and just filling our porch with pumpkins and giving other people pumpkins. So hundreds of seeds that should have yielded hundreds of pumpkins. And we got a weed patch with a few rotten, smelly pumpkins. The ones that we did salvage, we put in the back of our car, and we're driving home like, what is that smell? I mean, they were rotten. But look at this. This is what it looked like before. So Chelsea wasn't excited to have this picture in here, but she did allow me to put this up. But this is the only one I could find of the soil before it got out of control. I mean, do you see any weeds or thorns in the soil at all? I mean, it's perfect. But we saw what happened. When the thorns were allowed to grow, when the weeds were allowed to grow and not guarded against, not protected against, the plants choked out and the fruit was worthless. I mean, there was some fruit, but it was worthless. You get the picture? That's what Jesus is saying so often happens in our hearts. And Jesus warns us, this could be you. Someone who's hearing this parable right now, this could be you. This very well may be you. And again, it's an important warning that we need. Listen to his explanation of this. He says, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who've heard. And as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. This person's unfruitful. This person brings no fruit to maturity is a language that's used in Luke. I want you to remember, though, this person to some extent is a follower of Jesus. Again, they've heard the word, they've received the word. The other gospel writers emphasize that receiving of the word. This is one who's made a basic commitment to follow Jesus. This is one who's made some basic changes in their lives, but this person brings no fruit to maturity. And that's a key there. Like our pumpkin patch, you may see something, but the fruit that's there is stunted and rotten. This person's not continued to grow, to really, and I mean really, reflect the character of Christ. His love, his compassion, his mercy, his integrity. This person's not focused on the mission of Jesus, the mission Jesus gave us of making disciples, whether we're talking about out in the world or in our own homes, teaching our children to make them disciples for Jesus. This person's not active in the body of Christ, not really invested in the family of Christ. This person's not spending quiet time alone with God, devoted to prayer, devoted to the Word. You see those images. That language applied to the early church in Acts, devoted to prayer, devoted to the Word. So this person's unfruitful. And this person's unfruitful because he's distracted. His loyalty is divided. His life is just full of too many other things. His heart, you look at his attention, his energy, his affection is just given to other things. And there's just not enough room for God's Word to really grow and produce the fruit that God desires. And so what are these thorns? Let's think about this very carefully, because again, this is an important warning. What are these thorns? Again, look at the verse. He says these thorns are worries, riches, pleasures of life. So different sort of facets there, but all the same idea. The thorns are the cares and concerns of this life. The thorns are the desires, they're the concerns that drive us to fill our lives with all these things that don't directly impact the kingdom of God. The thorns steal our focus from God and His kingdom. The thorns steal our affection from God and His kingdom. The thorns steal our energy from the real work that God's called us to do. Worry, riches, pleasure. Worry, stuff, fun. You know, that's the picture here. These thorns fill our lives. They fill our hearts. They choke out God's word from having its intended use. Want to just think through. I've got just a list of things that would be thorns or the manifestation of these thorns and these desires in our lives. And I'd ask some other guys to just help me think through this, because at the same time I recognize I've got blind spots. We all have blind spots, and there may be something where I can see your thorns really well, but you know my thorns I may not see. And so I wanted to hear what others had to say and what they saw in this, so that hopefully this list I'm giving you is not just, you know, my soapbox, but a representative of things that we're all, as we come around God's word and look at what he asks us, says, okay, here are things that just don't measure up to what is purely about the kingdom and purely about our Lord. So think about some thorns, some ways these thorns manifest themselves in their lives. And it's a sort of this list is a combination of both of those ideas. We might think about stress at work, financial stress. We might think about nervously watching the stock market. Might just think about that fundamental desire for stuff and things. Houses, cars, clothes, toys, tech. You know, it goes on and on. Wanting to please people. Wanting to be accepted by people. Wanting to be liked by people. Not wanting to be left out in social activities. Busyness. Busyness can be a reflection of thorns. Again, even good things. But think about what the Lord told Martha. You're distracted by many things, but one thing's necessary. So busyness, even with good things, can be a result of thorns in our lives. Hobbies, I mean, all the things that we love to do. Side projects, house projects, house and yard maintenance. I think about just overtime at work, constantly requesting or constantly accepting overtime. Sports, playing sports, watching sports, just filling our lives with that in of itself. Our kids' activities, constantly running here and there, just running all over the place, devoted to that. Pursuing security and 401ks and Roth IRAs and life insurance, thinking that then I'll be secure, then I'll be safe, then I can put my trust in that. Pursuing certain relationships, whether it's social relationships, romantic relationships, whether it's family relationships, but pursuing those before God and His kingdom. Just desiring happiness, comfort, convenience in this life. It might be fear of job loss. It might be me time, right? We're talking about me time. Might be entertainment, media, social media. Might be diet and exercise, obsessing over eating right and working out. Might be political involvement. It might be blatant, unrepentant sin. Maybe there's just something in our lives where we continue to walk with the world that's not allowing God's word to grow as it should. You reflect back on this list, and that's not exhaustive, though I'm sure you are exhausted hearing it. But you think back over that list. Most of those things aren't inherently sinful. I think the vast majority of those things we'd all classify as good, reasonable. There's a naturalness to them. But they may be thorns choking out God's word. And that's why this is so deceptive and deceitful and so dangerous. And so let's make this more personal and really ask yourselves, what thorns are growing in my heart? What thorns do I need to pull? Just think through this with me. Think about all the extra hours spent devoted to work or pursuing extra income. You know, is work email the first thing you look at in the morning, the last thing you look at before bed? Do you always accept overtime? How often do you volunteer for overtime? We work more to make more, to buy more, to have more, to what end? I mean, what are we really working towards? You compare that sort of focus to the new man that's described in Ephesians 4. When and don't misunderstand me, work is a critical and important part of our walk with Christ, that Christ elevates as something that's serving him. And we need to, I don't want to say, well, secular work. No. We need to see the value of that. That's how we fulfill our mission in Christ, is through our jobs being lights and serving and working as under the Lord. So don't misunderstand anything I say along these lines. But look at the focus and think about the new man Paul describes in Ephesians 4. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what's good, so that he will have to share with the one who's in need. Working to share rather than working to spend. So again, think about, as you look at your own life, all the extra hours devoted to work or pursuing extra income, all the hours just spent on entertainment and fun. I mean, this list could go on and on in our culture. TVs, movies, think about Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, Amazon Prime, Dish, DirecTV, all these things. You think about social media between, you know, just scrolling through our phones between Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, what am I forgetting, Twitter, and just going through the list of that. Hobbies, I mean, how can I even begin to list all the different hobbies that we just fill ourselves up with? Reading, I mean, the books that we just can roll through, the magazines we go through. So all the extra hours spent devoted to work, pursuing income, all the extra hours that we spend on entertainment and fun, just all the hours and effort spent on anything that doesn't directly impact the kingdom of God. How does that compare, honestly, how does that compare to the time and energy we spend intentionally seeking God? Whether that's again in God's word or in prayer, how does that compare to the time and energy we spend intentionally involved in the lives of the brethren, sharing meals, sharing time, sharing possessions, sharing life? That, you know, you get that picture when you read through Acts and see the early disciples, the intentionality of our time, encouraging one another, praying with one another, reading together, just. Again, intentionally focusing on that, intentionally sharing the word, teaching others, again, whether it's unbelieving neighbors, coworkers, family, or whether it's teaching our children. I mean, again, really devoted and intentional about that. Compare the mission of Jesus with the mission you are pursuing. I mean, just step back for just a second and think about, okay, when I see Jesus' mission and his focus, and we're following him, right? I mean, as his disciples, that's what we're doing. We're following him. And so if you compare his mission, his focus, where is my mission and my focus? How does that compare to how does that align? We might compare the focus of the early disciples with the focus of our lives. And so are you growing? Are you bearing fruit? Are you bringing fruit to maturity? Or are there thorns, these desires, these affections that are just choking out God's word and leaving us unfruitful? A question I think about, and I'll sort of explain this again in a minute, but the question, are we reading the same gospel? You know, not too long ago in our nation's history, racism and segregation was mainstream. And we can look and see how that kind of collective cultural consciousness impacted even the thinking, the attitudes, the language of some professing to be Christians, some professing to be followers of Christ. And we look at that and we think, how in the world can that be? Right? How can someone claim to follow Jesus and have that sort of an attitude or say those kinds of things about another person? You know, it's like, are we reading the same gospel? But then I stop and I think about, like, what about disciples in other cultures? And followers of Jesus in other cultures, would they look at us in our culture and see all the time and energy that we spend pursuing hobbies and entertainment and stuff and things and all, and think the same thing about us, and say, are we reading the same gospel? How can you profess to be a follower of Jesus and just give yourself fully to that? We all have blind spots. I mean, that's just the reality. We all have blind spots. We want God's word to illuminate all the darkness and fill us up with light, but we have blind spots. And so we need to be honest and critical when we come to God's word. And we need to help each other. We need to band together and help each other see possible blind spots in our lives. I'm concerned that we may be deceived to thinking that we're good soil when the reality is there's just thorns growing up in our heart, choking out God's word and leaving us unfruitful. Really, one of my greatest concerns in our culture, you know, every culture, every place has different challenges and obstacles and things that bombard them. You know, Satan uses all sorts of things to get at us. This is one I think that is just especially on us, and we just need to step back and think through this. And I'm concerned because I see this in myself too often. I feel the struggle, the tug, the pull. Again, not in things that are inherently sinful, but just busyness, distraction, things that hinder pure devotion to Christ, the fruitfulness that He demands and that He deserves. I share a couple sort of snapshot moments from my life. I remember in college, you have those just moments in life where something just smacks you. And I remember in college, I don't remember things that were going on in the context of this, but I remember sitting down in my apartment and I was reading through a fitness magazine. And at the time, I was working out nearly every day, and I was just soaking up, all this information about fitness and health and everything. And I just remember thinking, I can sit down and read through this like nothing. I want to, but it was the biggest chore to pick up the Bible and read through it. What's wrong with that picture? And so that was like a moment of self-realization, like, I'm missing something. Sometime around the same time frame, I remember another kind of aha moment where the realization that I could quote more sports stats and player stats, team stats, shoe sizes for all that, in certain occasions. But where is this passage? I don't know. I couldn't separate what's in Timothy versus what's in Titus versus what's in Ephesians versus what's in, it just all sort of blurred together. I mean, I could say probably Romans 10, 17 and Acts 2:38, but really, you couldn't look at me and say God's word was in his heart. God's word was filling him up and growing in him and bearing fruit and driving, and that's what was behind the reins. And we may have these moments where we just look at our lives and we think about what Jesus says in certain occasions and realize, I'm way off track. But what matters is how we respond when that seed hits our hearts. Will we, just allow things to keep growing and choking it out, starving it out? Or will we say, I want to be that good soil. I want to grow. I want to bear fruit a hundredfold. I want God to change me from the inside out. And I want Him to be glorified. I want His kingdom to be raised up over everything else. And we start heading that direction. So please don't trade true life in Christ for the American lifestyle we're taught to accept and pursue. Recognize those things are different. So let's get real about this. Until our single desire is for God and His kingdom, we'll never grow and bear the kind of fruit God demands and deserves. That sounds idealistic and almost romantic. But then you read the scriptures and say, people actually did that. I mean, you look at Paul, look at the early disciples, and they had the things Jesus said to have. And so it's not meant to be some ideal. It's meant to be our reality. And so we must eliminate all competing desires. We must structure our life to reflect that singular desire. And that's not changing jobs. It's changing the focus within that job. Changing my focus within that job. It's not necessarily moving to another country. It's changing my focus in my country. And we'll talk more about that. But we can't play church. It's cute when kids play church. We can't play church. We got to seek first His kingdom. We got to be growing. We got to be bearing fruit for God. And so I've got homework. You guys handle homework? All the college students are like, man, we got finals this week. I can't do homework. But think, this is the single homework assignment. Just start to identify thorns. Not even start pulling them. Just start recognizing the difference between the thorn and the Word of God that's growing to bear fruit. And so this is whether you're just, again, alone with God and praying and thinking through some things, whether you just have a conversation with your husband or wife and say, let's talk about these things, whether you meet up with one of the elders and say, I need your help thinking through this, whether you want to meet up with me and say, I need your help thinking through this and praying through this, look at your life throughout the week and just start to see thorns that are choking out the Word and keeping you from bearing fruit. Asking yourself, what do you desire more than God and His kingdom? And what behaviors and practices and habits really reflect that fundamental desire? Please do this homework assignment. Sometimes I'll say, if you want to prepare for the lesson, do this. Please really do this. Don't just shake hands with me afterwards and say, good lesson, I needed that, and then go on and live life. Please really think about this. Again, you look at Jesus' warnings and you look at what he's saying. I think we all want to be the good soil. So let's do that. And we're going to keep working on this. I plan to spend the next few months actually really thinking about pulling weeds from our lives. And Gerald sort of alluded to that earlier this morning. We'll talk more about this next week. But I want to start here and just recognizing there's things that our hearts may be given to. There's things that Satan wants to do to keep the Word from us, right? He knows what happens when the Word gets in somebody and it grows and bears fruit. And so the last thing he wants is the Word to do that. And so he'll help keep us distracted and let thorns grow up. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, you are holy and exalted and full of glory and power and wisdom. May your name be lifted up above all, and may others humbly bow before you. May your kingdom be realized and your rule be evident, that your will be done here in our lives, just as it is in heaven. Lord, thank you for your patience with us, your continued grace and your mercy. We ask that you help each of us here. Give us ears to hear and good, honest hearts that will hear your word, that word would grow inside of us, that we would be changed and transformed and bear fruit for you, for your glory and your honor. Lord, cleanse our hearts, purify our hearts, make our single aim and our devotion, our desire centered around you. Help us to seek first your kingdom, not to be given to worry or riches or pleasures of this life, but to be fully devoted to you. In all things, we want your glory and honor. We want others to see how great you are, submit themselves to you, find salvation and forgiveness and joy and peace and all the fruit of your Spirit in you. And may we all be filled up with that. Help us, Lord, as a church, as a family, to come together and rally around one another and help each other and help us see blind spots and help us to gently correct one another, sometimes more stronger, sometimes more gentle. But in all things, we ask that you transform us and make us who you want us to be. We give you thanks and praise for all the rich blessings we have in Jesus. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If you want to be baptized into Christ, to die, to be buried with him, to be raised up to live a new life. We'd love to baptize you into Christ for forgiveness of sins. And if there's something you're struggling with in your life and you need our prayers and you need us to rally around you in that, we want to take you before our Father. We want to come alongside and encourage you any way we can. If there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing.
All right, if you guys just want to grab your songbooks, we will sing song number 944. Okay. All right, we'll go with the PowerPoint then. All righty. Sorry about that. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, sword of the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. For he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Good morning. A few updates to share from the family here. Mary Troxel this is an update to the bulletin. She's actually back home now. So she's back at Astor Place. However, she has the flu. So no visitors would be appreciated right now, but please feel free to reach out to her with cards or calls back at Astor Place. Darlene Reed and Kate and Steve Persoon aren't able to be with us this morning due to illness. Some of you may remember Tony Fisher, who used to be part